took me totally by surprise. Open my eyes and let me know when it's my time to let my light show. Lord, I saw how you used old Moses, how you led your children out of misery. But I'm unworthy to do such a deed while I'm here. I'm sure there's a job for me. Lord, you tried to use me, but I've been blind to see. Open my eyes and let me know when it's my time to let my light show. Have your way, I'm just a vessel that you made. I don't have a lot to offer, I'm just clay. But let me see just what you'd have me be, and give me the words and I'll say what you'll have me say. Lord, you've tried to use me, but I've been blind to see. Open my eyes and let me know when it's my time to let my light show. Open my eyes and let me know when it's my time to let my light show.
Amen.
All right, thank you, Miss Sally. All right, do remember those that are sick and in the hospitals and going into the hospitals and all different things going on. Appreciate you praying for my mom. She's had a tough week and she's doing a little bit better, so keep remembering her in prayer. My sister, I have a sister, she's coming in, going to stay at my house and be with her while I'm gone. And so do remember her and remember Sister Donna Reynolds. She had to go to the ER here, Stephen. She's in intensive care and not doing too good. So remember her in prayer. And those Brother Paul's not here this morning. And let's remember him in prayer. And we just have a lot of folks right now that are sick. Yes.
Remember my brother Tommy. He's not doing very good. Some of the family went down to see him this weekend. He's in the hospital. He has heart trouble.
Amen. We mentioned him. Had prayer last night in our prayer service. We had a good turnout. Last night, we don't push it, the prayer thing too much because we figure if folks have to be begged to come, they probably don't want to come anyway. The Lord has blessed us and given us a good number of men that be here every Saturday night to come out. Anywhere from 12 to sometimes 15 that come out to pray. And we pray for you. We pray for your family. We, of course, pray for this church. And it's a blessing. I'll be honest with you, I don't know any other place that would have that many men to come out at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night to spend that time in prayer. So we're blessed, and I do appreciate all the men that come out and are a part of that. I think it really makes a big difference in our church and helping keep the devil away.
Yeah,
because he's always trying to get in somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Yes.
Brother Ricky, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and for my family and for the faithful men that come out and pray for all of our families. You know, till my man gets in here to do it for us, I feel like I can trust these men to pray for me and my family, and also for the young man that was led to the Lord this week. I just thank you for that.
Amen. Sister Diane, brother, her son Hunter had another friend that was lost, and he got saved at their house this week in the pantry. And so we're thankful for that. And then Sister Peggy had the person saved about a couple of weeks ago. She told us at Sunday school. And then we won the man to the Lord last Saturday on visitation. And so the Lord gave us three souls this month. And so far, we've had somebody saved every month this year.
Amen.
So we're praying. We started in praying for May. And so you remember these folks that got saved, that they could get started right, get in church. At least one of them's battling cancer and got it pretty bad, and so needs prayer. And so continue to remember these things in prayer. All right, if you have your Bible this morning, if you'll open them to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And Brother Bill's here this morning. He'll be leaving to go to Nashville this evening. He's going to be having some stuff done down there. So remember him in prayer. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read. We're going to read verse 1 down through verse 9, and we'll read verse 9 together when we get to it. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. He didn't get them all. I'm still here. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. We'll read verse 9 together. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You may be seated. Lord, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for this Lord's Day, and thankful we're able to gather and assemble together as you commanded us and encouraged us to do. And Lord, as we come this morning, we ask the Lord to take the Word of God that He's put upon our heart for this morning, and Lord, that you'll minister it today through me. You'll minister the Word of God. And Lord, minister into the hearts of others that they might find help today at the Lord's hand. And it might be somebody here today, Lord, that feels like they're all the way on the bottom. And I pray the Lord would go down there to the bottom where they're at and help them, Lord, today to get some help and start on the way up today. And Lord, we just ask today, if there be any lost here today, that Lord, that they might be saved, and they need to be. Lord wants them to be, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be, and I pray today they might be saved. Yes, I ask you to help me preach now, pray you be with Brother Nathan tonight, and use him in a mighty way. And God, I pray this morning, and ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings, and my many failures, Lord, and I pray today, Lord, breathe upon us, Lord, that breath of life from heaven. And Lord, give us that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give us liberty to preach and bring our thoughts together around this text. And we'll be careful to thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. This story in the Bible is a classic in the Bible, and it's one of my favorites. I have some favorite places in the Bible, as do most of you. And this is one of my favorite places because it tells about a man of God, and James tells us he's one of like passion as we are. And so in other words, it's saying that he's somebody that's kind of like us in many ways. And it tells us over in 1 Corinthians 10 that all of the Old Testament was written for our admonishment upon whom the ends of the world have come. In other words, there's some things in these Old Testament accounts that are to admonish us and to help us as people of God. Now, I like this passage because I can identify with it. I think most people in here that have been living life very long can identify with this place here where that Elijah is. Now, some places in the Bible, I love them, but I can't really identify with them.
Yep.
I love Acts 2. And Peter stands up and preaches and 3,000 people get saved. I love that, but it's hard for me to identify with it.
Yeah.
Not because I can't believe it, but because the most I've ever seen saved in one service was 25 people. And so I've never been where 3,000 people were saved. A lot of places in the Bible like that, you know, they're wonderful, they're true, but we just cannot identify with it.
Right.
But here's a place in the Word of God, and it talks about Elijah and his cave experience here that we have recorded in the Word of God. And I want us to look at it this morning because I believe there's a lot of depressed, defeated people in despair in our kind of a day. And I think empty pews, empty pill bottles, I think empty people, they all testify to that fact that folks need some help.
Amen.
I think they all testify to that fact that sometimes life gets a little difficult. Sometimes it's an uphill pull. I like it when it's downhill and you don't hardly have to do anything, Brother Eddie. You just kind of go with the flow. Everything's going good and it's great and that's wonderful. Amen.
Listen,
but we know it's not always that way. I preached last Sunday night and I thought the Lord really helped us. I preached on some problem-solving places. And there's some problem-solving places in this old world. You're in one of them right now.
Amen.
You know, you get some problems solved down at the house of God.
Amen.
And I'm glad there's some places like that in the world. And you better find them because you're going to need them. You're going to need to find some places where you can get help if you're a child of God. Because you can't go down to the bar to get help if you're a child of God.
Amen.
You can't go out to worldly things to get help if you're a child of God. You're going to have to get your help in spiritual ways. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. So here's a great man of God, Elijah, and I wouldn't fault him at all. He's 10 times 100 the man that I'll ever be. He's a tremendous prophet of God. And if it wasn't for this one little spot here, he'd have a perfect account as far as it's settled in the Word of God.
Right.
The only other man I can find like that is the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, he outdoes Elijah because you can't find one place, or at least I can't, you can't find one place in the Word of God where that Paul even hints to the fact that he's discouraged at all. I mean, he's just always abounding and ready to do the Lord's work. But here's Elijah, and we won't go into the previous history in detail, but in chapter 17, he survives a famine, and in chapter 18, he goes up on the top of Mount Carmel. He meets with 850 false prophets and declares that God, Jehovah, is the real God, and the fire falls and the people fall. And he wins the victory over all that. He prays that it might rain again after 3.5 years. God hears his prayer. Comes a flash flood in the end of chapter 18. And then we come down to chapter 19. And I want us to look at this experience here, Elijah's experience here in the cave. Because you might find yourself in one.
Listen,
you might already be in one today.
Yeah.
I want us to look at it a little bit because I believe it will help us this morning. But I want to look at four things this morning about Elijah's cave experience. And first of all, I want us to look at what brings it about. What brought it about? Verse 11 says, the Bible said in verse 1, the Bible said, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal had slain all the prophets with the word, with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more, if I make not thy life as one of them." Here we see a man, and it's hard to believe, but it can happen. I know, because I've had it happen in my life. You say, "What do you mean?" Here's a man that was on top of Mount Carmel, on top of the mountain, had the victory in the last chapter, and then we come just a few verses over, and the same man is at the bottom of the mountain, and he's in despair. How does that come about? What causes that? Well, I think one of the things that's easily seen here in the Word of God is the fact that he is physically and mentally exhausted. He has survived the famine. He has withstood 850 false prophets. He's really been going through it. He's been traveling. He's had all this upon him, and burdened about his nation and all these things, and he's really physically and mentally exhausted. You say, "How do you know that?" Because verse 5, the Bible said he laid down and slept. Yeah. And then the Bible says again, it makes the same statement again in verse 7, and it says, "The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. He laid down again." So he's so tired, he's so exhausted, that the Bible tells us that that every time he sits down, he falls to sleep. Reminds me of some of y'all. Amen. 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 And it's not my bad preaching that puts you to sleep all the time. And I don't feel bad about it, because one of the greatest preachers in the Bible had a man go to sleep on him. Yep. And of course, he preached till midnight. So don't say nothing else about my long preaching. Yeah. Paul preached till midnight, and a man went to sleep and fell out of the window and nearly killed himself. And the preacher had to go down there and help him back up. But we can get physically and mentally exhausted. Somebody said, we got a lot better today than they used to have. We got automatic wash machines, and you don't have to use a scrub board no more, and get out with a washing tub and scrub out each piece of clothes, and we got dryers. Nobody has to hang them up on the line and then gather them all in. We've got good cooking stoves and microwaves that you can take the sauces and biscuit and nuke it and have it ready in about 10 seconds. And we got all these time-saving things. They even got a vacuum cleaner now that you don't have to do nothing. You just let it go. It just goes and does everything, you know. And they got all these time-saving things. Now we got weed eaters. Didn't have weed eaters. Now we got riding mowers. Used to, you didn't ride them, you had to push them. Right. And a long time ago, they didn't even have a motor on them. We got all these time-saving devices, but yet we've got less time than we've ever had. It's good we got them, because what in the world would we do if we didn't have them? The way we're running now and going now, and it seems like everybody, is just running and going and doing, and there seems to be hardly any way around it. And when you do that, you get physically, mentally, and emotionally exhausted and wore out. That's what happened to Elijah. Yeah. We came upon an interesting verse in our midweek Bible study over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 3. And I told him it was a very interesting verse to me in verse 11. It's one of the longest passages in the Bible as far as just one verse. It's not the longest, but it's one of the longest. And you know what it's talking about? It's talking about a bed. Here's what it says in verse 11. "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is not it in Rahab of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, 4 cubits the breadth of it, and after the cubit of a man." Now, here's what that verse says. That's a quite amazing verse. Why would God make the longest verse in the Bible be about a king's bed? Well, he has reasons for doing that. And there's things in there that we need to realize in that verse. One of the things in that verse, and it tells us this was a big man. The bed was 13 and a half foot long, and given a foot for the space of his head and a foot for the space of his feet. This man probably was somewhere between 9 and 10 feet tall. Big man. Amen?
Amen.
And then, as I told him Wednesday night, I'll tell you this morning, if you don't get anything else, you get this morning. This is where the first king-size bed ever was, right here. Amen. Ford Furniture didn't come up with it. It didn't come from anywhere else. It's right here in the Bible. It's the first king-size bed.
Amen.
And but one of the things that intrigued me about that verse and why I brought it up in my message today is that this verse tells us that even a king, even a giant, has to have some rest.
Amen.
And I want you to know that Elijah was a giant. He was a giant of a man. And you know, we have people in the Christian realm, and I guess they're considered giants of the faith or whatever. But many of them has been brought down because they did not take the time to rest mentally, physically, and spiritually. I guess, brother, got maybe a couple of preachers in here this morning. But an old preacher told me a long time ago something really helped me. He said, "Preacher, it ain't just enough to study. It's not just enough to pray." But he said, "For that sermon to go the way it really needs to go, he said, you have to be prepared body, soul, and spirit."
Right.
And he said, "That spirit can be prepared.
Right.
Your soul can be prepared.
Right.
But if you're totally exhausted, it's not going to go."
Right.
I tell you what, I stood back and received instruction
Amen.
On that. And I've tried to prepare the whole body whenever I preach as much as I can. I have found out that when it's impossible to do that, God will take over.
Yeah.
But if we're just out running around and goofing off and all that stuff, playing golf, I don't play golf. These three preachers tried to get me to go with them the other day. I said, "I don't play golf." I like Marty's answer. They asked Marty, they said, "Do you play golf?" He said, "I used to. I played golf and fish." But he said, "I quit playing golf because," he said, "fish tastes better than them golf balls." And I like what Joe Offer said. He said he went in one day and said, "Daddy," he said, "why don't we play golf? Everybody else does." He said, "We Christians, boy, we don't do that stuff." Amen. I like that. But I'll tell you, a lot of times I think what happens is a lot of preachers golf on Saturday and goof on Sunday. You see, you got to prepare yourself mentally, physically, and bodily for the work of God. That's Sunday school teaching everything. You'll never get that class taught the way it needs to be taught if you're not in the bed until 2 o'clock in the morning because you're out doing some worldly thing or watching some movie or whatever. You're going to be exhausted. Your thoughts ain't going to be clear.
Amen.
So Elijah, he's physically and mentally exhausted, and that's what brought him here to where we're at today. You know, I tell people a lot of times when they're going through hard times, they'll say, "What do I need to do, preacher?" I say, "Well, are you sleeping?" "No, I can't sleep." I said, "Are you eating?" "No, I don't have no appetite." I said, "Well, you got to get you something where you can sleep and get some rest. And you got to eat right, because if you don't, you're going to get your stomach all messed up." And I tell people, you got to kind of take control of the problem, or the problem will take control of you. So we see here that he's wore out. And then I see in verse 2, the Bible said Jezebel sent a messenger to him, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." That's bad news, isn't it?
Yeah.
He got some bad news. You ever get any bad news? Oh, yes, I've got bad news. Did you ever be whistling Dixie and just on top of the world, walk down there in the yard, open up the mailbox?
Yeah.
And everything changed. Amen?
Yeah.
You see, it's amazing sometimes what some bad news can do. You know, people go to the doctor. They go to the doctor and they're going in for a checkup or whatever. Maybe had some blood work done. And the doctor comes back and gives them some devastating news and just changes their whole world. Everything just, you know, goes from up here to down here. It happens. We're living in a world that's full of bad news. Bad news. Hey, by the way, before I leave that first point, you know one of the best places to get some mental, physical rest there is? You're in it right now.
Yeah, man.
You're right. That's right. Yeah.
Did you know that's why the Lord said men ought to work 6 days a week? I mean, I know there's some wives, they'd be happy if their husband just worked one. But God said you're supposed to work 6 days a week. 6 days a week. And if people would do that, he'd cut out a whole lot of meanness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. A whole lot of meanness would be cut out. I mean, you work six days a week, 12 hours a day. You don't feel like no foolishness when you get off. You're looking for a recliner in the bed. Amen. But you know what the Lord said? He said, you need that seventh day to rest.
Right.
That what he said?
Definitely.
Work 6 days, rest on that seventh day. That's what the Lord said. You say, I thought the Sabbath was for Israel. It is, but there's a teaching in there. There's a concept in there that we need to grasp, that God knows that we as human beings, we need one day a week.
Yeah.
To rest our mind, to rest our body, to rest our thoughts, to refocus our spirit on God. We need one day a week. And I believe one of the reasons for the breakdown in the society we're living in right now, I believe one of the reasons why so many don't ever feel anything you think of, right, is because that they're trying to medically do what would take place if they just physically do what God said. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, you come to church. Now, if you like church, if you don't like church, you'll leave even more exhausted, mentally tormented.
Yeah.
You don't like church.
Exactly.
But if you're Christian and you like church, you like preaching, you want to hear the Word, I'll tell you, get into a good Wednesday night Bible study. I've done it many times. We get going in the Word of God, get in some interesting passage, and boy, for about 35 minutes, you forgot there's even a world out there. You forgot about everything going on.
Woo!
And you just rested your mind, rested your spirit. And you know there's Bible for that. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that weak and are heavy laden. What did he say? He said, I'll give you rest.
I'll
take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If I have a meek, lowly heart, you shall find rest for your soul. I want you to know that a recliner might rest your body, but you'll have to come to the house of God to get rest for your soul.
Amen.
That's right. Bad news. Brother told me the other day, he said, Brother Rick, I quit watching the news. And he said, I feel better. Well, I can imagine that. I can believe that. Amen. Because I don't know about you. I can get addicted to that stuff.
Yes.
You get something going on like that going on out there in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I get addicted to that thing. It's the same thing over and over, just different news broadcaster. Nobody's got nothing new. It's just the same stuff. But I have to make myself turn it off.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, and I know it's true in my own life, got to be in yours, that if you get a steady diet of nothing but bad news, it's going to pull you down.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I read a paper every now and then, watch the news once or twice a week, see what's going on. But we have to be careful. We'll get addicted to that thing.
You're right.
You see, we need some good news.
Amen.
The world is calculated on bad news. All we ever hear, bad news.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate Sister Diane send me a message this week and give me some good news. She said that boy got saved. That's good news.
Well,
we don't want to broadcast the good news. We want to broadcast the bad news. It's human nature. Adamic human nature. But we need to get some good news out
there.
You say, well, Brother Rich, just ain't no good news. I'll tell you where there's good news.
Woo!
I tell you where, if it's a Bible, gospel, preaching church, if you go down there, you're going to hear some good news.
Amen.
They may talk about hell, death, and dying, all the things that we must talk about, negative things, we must mention them. But I'll tell you, if there's any preacher in him at all, if there's any teacher in him at all, they're going to tell you about the gospel, and the gospel is good news.
Right.
Good news.
Amen.
What the gospel is. I don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
My troubles ain't going to last forever.
Amen.
But God, there is coming an ungodly day. You see, I need to hear stuff like
that's
that
right.
to pull me up
Amen.
Out of where the world's beat me down all week. Amen.
That's right.
Bad news. Bad news. He's trying to get over a mountain.
Yeah.
You read there, the Bible says he rose and went. He's trying to get over Horeb. Trying to get over a mountain. Most of us are trying to get over mountains in our life from time to time.
Right.
Might be a financial mountain or a medical mountain or a marital mountain.
Man.
We're trying to get over these mountains, you see. Well, you know, I don't know a lot about mountain climbing, but I remember a few years ago, me and my wife, we went down to the Smoky Mountains. We went up into that Cage Cove and all that scenic place up there. And they got two or three falls up there, you know. I can't remember, maybe it's Abram's Fall. We decided we was going to take us a little hike back there. And to see that thing, we didn't know it was 5 miles back there. We didn't know it was uphill. I mean, we started up there and got about halfway up. They come packing a guy by me on a stretcher. I thought I might be in trouble. And I tell you what I found out. We finally got up there and got over it. But I tell you what, I'm sure glad I ate breakfast that morning. Amen. You say you can't get over these mountains if you don't eat some of the Word of God. Can't get over. I tell you what, I'm sure glad that as I went up that thing, I had some things to hold on to. Because if I hadn't, I'd probably just passed out and they'd been carrying me down on the next load. But what I'm saying is when you get over a mountain, you got to rest. I'm glad I rested that night before we started up there. I'm glad that, thank God, I ate a good breakfast that morning.
Amen.
I'm glad that I had some things to grab a hold of and hold on as I went up the mountain. And in this life, as a Christian, you need some things to grab on to hold on to. You need some spiritual food in your body.
Amen.
You need some rest if you're going to get over these mountains that we're going to have to get over as children of God.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Amen. That's what brought it about. Of course, a lot of other things, but I'm trying to stay with the text. But then secondly, I want to look at this. What is the cave like? Verse 9 says that he came hither into a cave, and he lodged there. I'm sure most of you have been in a cave. We live in an area here which has one of the largest ones in the world. And people come from all over the world to go see it. The other night I got home and on a Sunday night, was watching that Legends and Lies of the Old West. I love that stuff. And I like that Jesse James kind of stuff and that Doc Holliday and all them guys. I like it. And I laid there until it went off watching that stuff. And you know, right in the middle of that one on Jesse James, they told about that he robbed the preacher over there at Mammoth Cave. And I tell you, it's so interesting. They said he hid out in one of them caves there, somebody's telling me. But you know what a cave's like? I've been in them as a child. We had a cave out Temple Hill, and it was called Saltpeter Cave.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been over there. I've been maybe halfway through it. I never was all the way through it. But I've been in it enough. And then Bob McCurry was here one time, and he said, "Brother Rick, could we go over and see that cave?" And I said, "I guess. I ain't never been over there, but we'll go if you want to go." And we went over there and we went into the entrance and back to the bars as far as you could go. But I know what a cave's like, you see. And when people get in a cave, they get in a place where it's cold.
Man.
Cold.
Right.
It's cold in them caves.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, it's cold in there.
Yeah.
You know, you say, "Why is it so cold in there?" No sun.
Right.
No, son, you know why it gets so cold in this old world sometimes and cold in our life? No, son, S-U-N. S-O-N. No son of God in our life. That's what's wrong with the world. Matthew 24:13 said in the last days, 11 million wax cold. Why is this whole world so cold? No son. They don't want him in the courthouse. They don't want him in the White House.
Amen.
They don't want him in the schoolhouse. They don't even want him at church house.
Amen, brother.
And when you get rid of the son of God, you're going to have a cold place.
Right.
That's right.
Let me check your intellect here. Does anybody know what a troglobite is?
Awesome.
Troglobite. Anybody know what that is? I thought y'all went to college. Some of y'all had master's degrees, PhDs and stuff. You know what that is? Eddie's clothes. But it's a thing that lives entirely in the darkness. That's what it is. Like a bat. You know, when you think about the things that live in caves, that speaks volumes itself.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Bats.
Yeah.
Right. Bears. I tell you what, you get around somebody that's living in a cave,
oh, me, Brother Rick,
and they're going to be a bear to fool with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, they're creatures that live entirely in the dark, and we got a world full of
them. Amen.
We got a world of people that's just moved into the dark hours of this world,
yep,
and they don't want no light. They don't want the Bible. They don't want God. But you see, sometimes us as Christians, things happen in our life, and we revert back like Elijah. We get back in a cave. We get back in a dark place. We get back in a place that's cold. We want to isolate ourselves from everything. Amen. And that's not a good thing to do.
Right.
The cave is cold. The cave is dark. The cave is lonely.
Amen.
You say, how you know that? Well, look what it said in verse 10. I only am left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. It really, really helps you if you listen to me this morning. It helps me. You're not the only one going through what you're going through.
That's right.
Right. Amen. Right.
Brother and sister, the same affliction.
But you know, I think it's profound how God linked these two verses together. 1 Peter 5:8, the Lord says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, stalks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour."
Right.
But then the next verse says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that your brethren suffer the same affliction."
Right.
Amen.
One of the number one tools of the devil is to tell you and to tell me nobody's ever been through this before.
Amen.
And all the world's going through the same thing we're going through.
Amen.
I want to tell you this morning, I'm telling you there's other people that's got family in the nursing home. There's other people that's got family that's got cancer. There's other people that's got diabetes. There's other people that's had divorces and marital problems. There's all kinds of people in the world that have went through the same thing you and I have went through. And you need to get out of that cave. And you need to get out in the light. And you need to get out with God. And realize it's part of the world we're living in. And we need to just learn to grin and bear it until it gets better, thank God.
Amen. Good preaching, Brother Rick.
Amen.
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 Other people. I tell you what really helps us is when we get trying to help them other people.
Right. Amen.
It'll help you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just spent 2 days all day long at the nursing home. It helped me. It helped you. You know, you say, God said it's better to go to a place like that than it is to go to a feast or a party or something.
Yeah. That's right.
It'll help you look around and see what the world's going through.
Man.
Hey, you may sit around there and cry. You sit around there for 2 or 3 days and look what other people's going on.
Right.
See what they push up and down the hall.
Yeah,
see what's laying in them beds.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, my friend, you'll go out there whistling. You'll go out there saying, "Thank God it's a lovely day.
Yeah.
Thank God I got some things to be happy about.
Right.
I got some things to praise the Lord for."
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother
Rick. Yeah. Yeah.
See, we get in our little caves.
Right.
Right.
Close the door and shut. Try to shut everybody out.
Right.
It's a lonely place. Well, what put him in there to start with? Well, verse 9, verse 13 said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Verse 13, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He says, that tell us what put him in there? No, it's telling us what didn't put him in there. God didn't put him in there.
That's right.
Amen.
Because if the Lord had put him in there, he wouldn't have been asking what he's doing there. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
You say, what's that tell you? Well, here's what it tells me. God's not in the discouraging business.
Right.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
God is not in the discouraging business.
Right.
I can honestly say the Holy Spirit of God has never discouraged me one time.
Amen.
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 The devil's the discourager.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And our own flesh is what discourages us. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And we look here, and of course we know he's afraid of what Jezebel said. Verse 3, the Bible said she said she's going to kill him, and he got afraid.
Amen.
Right.
You know what we get down out about?
Ask him, Lord.
we get down out about stuff that we think's going to happen.
Yeah. Right?
Did Jezebel ever kill him?
No.
See, that's a worry for nothing, wouldn't it?
Right.
She didn't kill him.
Right.
You know, 95% of the stuff we sit around and worry about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's never going to happen anyway.
Right.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
And if we are children of God, we believe He's in control.
Amen.
If it does happen, He sent it my way. Yeah. And He's going to be with me.
Amen.
He's going to help me through it, yeah, if I let Him.
Amen.
If I don't run off somewhere and get out in a hole and get in a cave somewhere and pull a door, pull it in behind me, I tell you, God wants to encourage. God wants to help us.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what we need to do? Instead of getting a give-up attitude, we need to get a get-up attitude.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Everybody gives up. They ain't got no fortitude.
Amen.
Right.
We don't have what the old-timers had.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't have what they had. I mean, just keep pressing on through the darkness until the light comes and just keep looking up until the clouds roll away.
Right.
I'm telling you that we need to keep we need to get a get-up attitude instead of a sit-down, a give-up attitude.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
Yesterday you hear preachers say this a lot when I first started. I'd hear them say this a lot. They'd say, I got a Webster's Dictionary. And they'd say, if you go over there to the Q's, they'll say, you'll find a little place cut out there. The word's gone, not there. That word's quit.
Right.
So we just cut that out because we don't even want to think about it.
Amen.
Yeah.
We don't even want to sit down and ponder the idea that we might quit. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to even sit down and ever even think about giving up on God.
Amen.
Amen.
Give up on everybody else, but don't give up on God.
Right.
If you have to give up on all, don't give up on God.
Right.
Yeah.
He's faithful.
That's right.
Amen.
He'll be there for you.
Yeah, he will.
Amen.
See, our attitudes determines a lot about our altitude.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So what was his attitude? Well, we read it there a minute ago. For one, he thought he was the only one.
Right.
But there's 7,000 more.
Right.
Amen.
Now, they might have been vocal, outspoken, out there doing what they ought to, Christians, but they were there.
Amen. Right.
They were there.
Right.
Don't think for a moment that you or me is the only ones. If we are, this place is in trouble.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people out there who love God.
Amen.
And they're trying to serve God and praying every day, and believe it or not, reading your Bible, going to church. There's a lot more out there than what they'd like you to think there is.
Amen.
And we're not careful, we get a worldly attitude.
That's right.
Right.
A don't care attitude.
Right.
Just 2 or 3 years ago, they had that little thing, you know, if something come up and then they'd give you a quarter and say, here, go call somebody that cares. But I don't need your quarter. I call on somebody every day that cares.
Yeah,
and he cares the Lord. And he cares about me and you. And he cares about the church. And he wants to help us. And he wants us to come out of that cave, out of that depression, out of that despair, out of that darkness, and to come into the light, marvelous light of the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 9. It says he came hither. Must want to be there.
Yeah. Right.
He desired to be there.
Right.
Desired.
Yeah.
The Bible says the Lord give us desires of our heart.
Yes. Amen.
He didn't give him that.
Right.
See, you and I, sometimes we have desires. They're not right.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Sometimes we lose our spiritual desire.
Right.
But we don't need to lose our spiritual desire. We don't need to desire back out in the world. We don't need to desire to go into a cave somewhere and get away from everybody.
Amen.
Right.
I don't understand people that say,
bless him, Lord.
And they say, I don't like to go to church.
Oh, man.
I can't stand crowds.
Oh, man.
What do you think God's going to do? Build you a little mansion off
1,000 miles from everybody else. John said there was going to be a multitude that couldn't even be numbered.
Amen.
Right. I give you this, some crowds I don't like.
Amen, Brother Reed.
I love God's people.
Yeah.
I love that crowd of God's people. They're like myself. They know what they ought to be. They ain't even what they want to be, but thank God they know what they used to be, and they're glad they're saved, and they're out there to say they're what they used to be, and they're going to hell no more.
Amen.
Amen. Desire. I desire church.
Amen.
You say, well, you're the pastor. Go out there. Go out there and hit the button on my tape player and see what shoots out.
Amen.
Be a sermon.
Yeah.
Open up that glove box. Woo! See what's in there. It's sermons. Amen. I've heard them over and over and over again. But they feed my soul. I desire to hear a man of God preach. I desire to hear the sound of the songs of God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good, Brother Rick. Yeah. Amen.
Desire.
Amen.
You never get out of that cave. You desire to get out of there.
That's right.
Amen.
What got you in there?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be kind to people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Realize people have a hard time. People need help.
Amen. Yeah.
People don't need kicking down. People need lifting up.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Love people. Be kind to them. Show them some consideration. You say, why? You're very hateful. They don't have no patience. Yeah, you'll be like that someday. Put about 30 more years on you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Just try to sit there and think about what you're going to be like then.
Yeah.
Think about what you want people to do when you get in a place like that.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Little kindness.
Amen.
Right.
Bible says that charity never fails.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brighten your day a little bit.
Amen.
What's that old song? Love will roll the clouds away.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, brother, when you get out in that cave, you don't think nobody cares. You don't think nobody thinks about you. Nobody loves you.
Right.
Even though it's not true, that's what you think.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Well, what have we learned here this morning? Anything? Well, let's look here. What we learned from Elijah's cave experience. Look at verse 11 and 12. And this is God speaking. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after fire, still small voice.
Amen.
Here's what we learn. Number one, there's some things God just ain't in.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Right.
That's right. See, God went in the fire.
Amen.
God went in the earthquake.
Amen.
There's some things God just ain't in.
That's right.
You know, God ain't in the discouraging business. God's in the encouraging business.
Amen.
Now, He may come down and speak to you when you're down there. No doubt He will. But He didn't put you there. He wants to get you out of there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes God just ain't in.
That's right.
Right.
God's never in being unkind to people.
That's right.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
God's never in mistreating folks.
That's right.
I try to preach it and practice it.
Amen.
If I fail it, I'll come back and apologize to you. I've done it before.
Bless Him, Lord.
But I try to preach it and practice it and get you to do it, that everybody in this church ought to treat everybody else out with respect and kindness.
Amen.
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 That's
right.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. You don't get the best treatment in here, we get anywhere in the world.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That brother love
can do. We're brothers and sisters of black faith family. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, look. Let's look here, verse 13. And it was Saul, the still small voice, verse 12. And it was Saul, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out.
Mm-hmm.
Went out of the cave. If we're going to hear from God, We're going to have to get up and we're going to have to get out.
Amen.
We're going to have to get out of our cave of darkness, our cave of depression, our cave of despair. We're going to have to get out of that.
Amen.
The same preacher like Nathan's preaching on tonight. There's some things easier said than done.
Amen.
Right.
I know that. I've got preacher friends. One of them's dead now, and you'd never know it if you was around him, but he battled depression. I mean, to the point of suicide. Yeah. He said, "Brother Rick, that just come over me like a cloud." He said, I don't know what it was. I just in despair. Mm-hmm. I know it's situations like that, and God can help with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of y'all ain't to that point.
Right.
Most of y'all ain't that far down in there. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You see, if we got to be willing to come out of that cave.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We gotta put an end to that pity party.
Amen. Right.
And say it's over because nobody came anyway but you.
Right.
Gotta put an end to that pity party.
Yes.
Get up and get out there and get over there on that praise party.
Amen.
And quit complaining about what we don't have and start sitting down and doing like the old song said and counting up our blessings of what we do have.
Amen.
One more.
Yeah.
Got more than you think.
That's right.
Amen.
This morning. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to be willing to come out there. You know, best I can understand in Bible chronology and best I can figure out from this chapter here over to 2 Kings 2:11, that's where Elijah's raptured and leaves out. The best I can tell, if I'm correct, there's somewhere about 10 years in there. Between that happens, you read it through, it seems like it's just the next day, but according to the chronological dates at the top of the Scofield Bible, it looks like it might be as much as 10 years departed from there. So you say, what are you saying? Two things. Well, you better get a grip. You may have a lot farther to go than you think you do.
Right.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
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 It's an old story. I won't go over the whole thing for time's sake. Old Brother Arnold, you know, 96 years old, stood right there on New Year's Day and said, "I want more God on my life. I want more of the power of God. I want to win more souls."
Yeah, man.
And I'm sitting right there where he's sitting, slumped over, back hurting, thinking I'm probably going to live about another year.
Yeah.
God, Holy Ghost nudged me and says, "You better get that boy.
Yeah.
You may have a little farther to go than you think you do. You better get a hold of something. You better get a grip on things because it may get better before it gets worse."
Right.
My daddy's sitting there. If you went over and asked him, "How's it going?" He's going to say something like this. Could be worse.
Yeah.
Being the pessimist I sometimes am, I say, "Yeah, it probably will be." Amen.
Yeah.
And it probably is going to get worse before it gets a whole lot better.
Right.
But we must remember that after the 10 years and even before that, that God already had a plan to take Elijah home.
Amen. Amen.
God's got a plan to get us out of this world.
Amen. Amen. Permanent counsel with God.
Yeah.
I said, "I don't know how much more to take." Well, you can take some more.
Right.
You can take some more. God says He won't put more on you than what you can take, so I know you can take what you got on you now.
Amen.
And He said, "I will make a way that you might escape it or be able to bear it."
Amen.
That's what He'll make a way.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Cave. Elijah in the cave. To say what I said at the beginning of this sermon, I want to say it again. If it wasn't for that 19th chapter, there wouldn't be a spot on this man's record. But I wouldn't have no sermon this morning. And we couldn't get no help this morning.
Amen.
From somebody that is not a perfect man. And the Bible said, there's not a just man in all earth doeth good and sinneth not.
That's
so we're not a perfect man.
Right.
We all falter We all fail.
Well,
right.
We all battle the flesh, the devil, the world.
Heaven.
Right.
And it's going to get us down.
Right.
Who won that fight last night? Anybody know?
Mayweather.
Man, I want to see that. There's one time I wish that was a millionaire.
Yeah.
I like to see that. I like that kind of stuff. I don't care much about the golf and all that stuff, but I like it when them two men get in there fighting. I'd like to sing that. Amen. But you know which one won? One didn't give up.
Right.
Yeah.
A great fighter of yesteryear. You know what? Somebody asked him, he said, how'd you win all that? How'd you win all that? He said, I got up one more time.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Amen.
Right. I'm not going to stand up here and lie and tell you you ain't going to get knocked down and stomped in the mat. You are.
Right. Yes, right.
But get up.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Get up. Amen.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I trust that when the preacher prays, church is praying for him, that God gives him what they need. So I trust this is needed today. And it's been a help to me. And I hope it's helped somebody today. Maybe there's somebody here today. And they've been able to be touched by the feelings of what I preached on this morning. And maybe the Lord give them a strength. I know He will if they'll just come out of that cave. And maybe come down here, kneel down, and just say, Lord, I'm here. I need to hear that still, small voice today. Lord, help them. Lord, we pray today for that one that's lost, because if they don't know the Lord, if they live here in this world in a few more years, they're going to need a lot of help. And they ain't going to be able to find enough help in a pill bottle, needle, mental wards, hospitals. They need a God. Help them through, and I pray you'd help them to come down here this morning and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've been trying to battle it through this world on my own, but I need a partner. I need somebody to lead me. I need somebody to go with me. Be a friend to me. I pray they come today and get the Lord as their Savior today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please. Pray about something. Come on and do that. In that cave, come out and let the Lord talk to you.
123.
Amen.
Thank you.
heart are still small voice. Elijah went 40 days on a little word from God, that little meal God gave him. So maybe today somebody got something to help him go for a while. Sure hope so. Amen. All right, word on anyone's heart today. Word of praise or testimony today. Brother Ed.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick. I'd like to thank you, Bill, to be here today, hear this great message. And I know a lot of discouraged people. I met a lot of them. But David, the Bible said, at a time of great discouragement, said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Yes.
I'm glad there is a place you can run to and get encouraged and try to go no further than the Lord.
Amen, brother. All right. Anybody else today? All right. If all hearts are clear, Brother Marty.
Amen. Yeah.
Most of our people realize there's been a lot of changes.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Sickness has got better.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Souls have been saved for that prayer.
No doubt. Amen. Amen. See, a lot of Saturday night prayers come walking down Sunday morning aisle.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
Anybody else? Yes. Shake somebody's hand and come back in service tonight, 6 o'clock.
Good week.